You are listening to the podcast of Lancaster Covenant Church. We seek to worship God, tell others about Jesus Christ, nurture new believers, and grow together in the knowledge and love of our Savior.
I'm not going to let you off the hook.
All set. Today is the day.
Good.
Or I throw them off. Morning.
Good morning. That was pretty weak. Good morning. It's a little better. If you'd open up your bulletins, we're going to go through a few announcements, and then we're going to talk a little bit about Compassion Sunday, which is today. We chose it as today. So we begin with today. After our worship service, we have a pancake meal, and there will be a free will offering that will be for Vacation Bible School. And today is also our last day of Sunday school. Confirmation is coming to a close. Our last confirmation is next Wednesday. And Confirmation Sunday is next Sunday. So we've got a lot going on here in the next couple weeks. Tuesday, May 2nd, that's this coming Tuesday, is the end of the good news, is the end of the year good news program, and that's at 7 o'clock. So please come out for that. It's 7 o'clock here, and we'll be having a program and then root beer floats to follow. And then this Thursday, May 4th, at 7 o'clock, you're invited to the gazebo in Halleck for a National Day of Prayer service. I will be there, and there will be Julie's coming. There will be several others, but we're also going to have the church open that day for prayer if you want to just come. I'll make sure the door is open, and you can just come and pray for our nation and for the needs. There's a table out in the foyer, again, of things to pray for as well. Mariah Lutheran and Kennedy is hosting their first Festival of Tables on Saturday, May 6th at 5 o'clock. You can see that information there. And as I said, confirmation Sunday's next Sunday. Kids are asked to be here for sure by 8:30 for pictures. So just try to be here like 8:15 and make sure that you're ready. And we can just have prepare ourselves for just an amazing service. Kids are going to be doing some things. They're going to be doing some scripture reading and praying and also singing. And there will be a taco meal that will follow and cake after the service. Also, Blue Water Work Weekend is May 12th through the 14th. There's no cost for this. All meals will be provided, and you'll see the possible projects there. And if you'd let me know, I would sure appreciate it if you're planning on going for that, so I can kind of get them a number as well. There's also a bridal shower here in the Fellowship Hall for Megan Satterlin, and on May 13th, it's a Saturday at 2 o'clock. Everyone is welcome. Also, the end-of-year youth group party will be held at Jesse and Denise Streggs on Wednesday, May 17th. So not this Wednesday, but it's May 17th at 6:45. And then there's a Harvest America's Ministry. It's asking Americans to participate, proclaiming 2017 as the year of telling the good news of God, of Jesus Christ. And Peggy Nordine is the one, the contact for that as well. Okay, anything else? Here's on the other page, you'll see there's a note about women's retreat. How are we doing, Ida? Are there any more? We need more people?
Well, I sent out 10 ladies that sign up. But remember, my goal has 2 cabins. 2 cabins is 7 ladies. So, if you have time, let me know. I'll just keep up with the numbers.
10 ladies. We need 10 more. We need 10 more. I think that was the same number, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Last week?
I want to cabin. Also, today we're planning to serve right away, but we want to be ahead of making pancakes. So, can send your Sunday school class, your children here, let us cook the pancake, and you let me know when it's ready. So, thank you.
Sounds good. Thank you, Ida. Shannon. That would be awesome. We could meet right up here.
Yep.
Okay. So if you are interested in keeping Vacation Bible School going, we don't have a plan yet. So this is a year where we really, really need to come together. And just if you are interested in keeping it going, we need to meet. To just meet in the front up here, and we'll talk about it. Thank you, Shannon. Okay. Any other announcements this morning? Okay, we're good. Emily, there is a video. Peggy, did you want to talk about Compassion Sunday at all?
Yeah. Where?
Yeah. Peggy's going to come up first, and then if you could get that. Did you see the video there on the desktop? Okay, awesome.
We just want to put in a good word for Compassion International. It's an awesome way to help a child in another country where they're in great need because they're in such poverty. And you can be right in your own home and enjoy the comforts of your home with lots of good food and water and plenty of nice things and still be helping a child in a country where they do not have the way we do. And we have 13 of these little brochures like this with an actual child on there. This is really real, you know? So if you take one of these, we want you to pray about it. But if you decide not to do it, we have to have you bring it back, because this has to go back to Compassion so that someone else would pick them. We don't want them lost in the shuffle. So anyway, on them, some of them say it's a priority, and that means they're really in desperate need of help. And it seems so amazing to me that you only pay $38 a month to sponsor a child. I think almost all of us can afford that. And then you get letters from them, and you just get to have a real true relationship with them, plus praying for them, plus they hear about Jesus, plus they're fed. They're able to go to school because of that. And you can do it, you can pay by getting a bill each month, or you can put it on a debit card or whatever you want. It's just an amazing way to help somebody else. And we know how real it really is in this church, because my daughter Joni had supported a boy in Honduras for, I don't know, I think about 8 or 10 years. And then they had an opportunity to literally go and meet him when they went to Honduras on that mission trip. And so, I mean, it's real. It's so real. And today we're just going to show you a little quick video of, about one child. And then I just wanted to let you know this, that this poverty for them is so overwhelming. And the video shows how really real that is. And there's just so many things they need to be helped with. This sponsorship of one child helps them so much. A dollar a day is about what you'd be paying, and it gives them education, meals, health care, Bible teaching. And in Matthew 25, 35 through 36, it says, I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. That is what you're doing when you help a child. We have one Randy and I support, and her name's Gracia Barnwaki Nana. She's from Burkina Faso in Western Africa. And one prayer that I pray for her is Psalm 122:7. May there be peace within your walls and security in your citadels. And I pray that she'll have time for fun and opportunities to learn and to be safe from the heat and the bad weather and all the other horrible things that are going on over there, like sex trafficking and all that stuff that's so horrible, and that she'll have a strong body and a peaceful mind, and that most of all, that she'll know Jesus as her Savior. And we've had her for 8 years. She was 6 when we got her, and we have some really cool letters that we write back and forth, and it's so much fun. So anyway, we're going to have you watch this little video, and then I hope you make a choice. We have 13, and wouldn't that be awesome if our church would support 13 kids? Wow, I really hope you'll take on that challenge. I know you help in many other ways, so if this isn't your way of helping, that's fine, but we sure would love it if you could. Thank you.
When I was 5 years old, my dad broke his leg and he couldn't work. We didn't have money for food. I was very scared. Near our home, bad people would be out at night and there was always trash everywhere. I felt like no one cared about me and I didn't matter. When I was 9, one of my neighbors told me about Compassion. I didn't know what it was about, but I liked it because I received a lot of help. I was fed there at the church, and I learned how to take care of myself. I learned that I was special and that God loved me and that He had a plan for my life. And I learned that I could ask Jesus into my heart, and when I did, I was so happy. I was waiting to get a letter from my sponsor, and when it finally came, I felt very happy and special. They were very loving in their letters. They loved me so much, even though we never met in person. At 15, I remember being so thankful for my sponsors and everything they did for me. I will remember them until the last day of my life. Without their help, my life would be so different. All I can say is thank you for so much love that showed me God's love. Now, I know I have value, and I know I have a future.
My name is Hilda. This is my story. Release a child from poverty in Jesus' name.
A child is waiting for you.
Thank you, Peggy. We do have a table out in the foyer, so please check out the 13 kids that are there, and pray about what God would have you do. I did forget to announce, and I was supposed to, there is a fundraiser today for a mission trip to Jamaica that St. Patrick's Catholic Church is doing, along with others that are joining them. And so there's a concert, a Papa Ridge concert, at 3:00 at the Halleck City Hall, and I think there's a bake sale, and so please come out for that, and enjoy a time just being together and raising money for those kids and for that trip. So Father Craig will also be there to play guitar and sing along, hopefully, if I can talk him into it. But he's going to join us for sure. So anything else this morning? Okay, Bob, if you'd come up.
Okay, our scripture reading this morning comes out of Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Again, from Philippians chapter 4. Prayer requests. Do we have a microphone today, Galen, or are we still dead? Okay. Okay, any prayer requests that we have this morning? Julie?
I'll just
praise
Jordan's son, Ryan.
Oh, excellent.
He stopped out there on Friday night, and he's already adapting exceedingly well.
Good. Okay, we know who we're talking about, though. Dave? Or Tom, sorry?
Prayer for my wife, prayer for Scott's children, and prayer for our people who
are there. Okay, thank you. All right, I saw a hand somewhere else over there. Oh, yes, sir. Okay, thank you very much. Just repeat that for those who cannot hear that. Charlene had some surgery on her liver. They were checking out her lymph nodes to make sure what was there. They didn't find anything there, but she's got some additional surgery coming up in a few weeks. And then also for her husband, Sam, was currently looking for a job because his job as a youth pastor came to an end there. So, Jenny? Okay. Kristen Erickson, her cancer has returned. Jenny, do you know what kind of cancer that is? Or
breast cancer.
Breast cancer. So she's that's showing up again. And then Nicole, who's expecting twins basically any day here, so continued. That'll go well. All right. Yes. Okay, little Riker, 15 months old, has an eye surgery coming up, so that'll keep that in prayer as well. Julie? Franklin Carlson has a shoulder replacement coming up? Oh, okay. Okay, anything else? All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we're just so thankful that we can all be here this morning, and we just want to pray for those who cannot be here for one reason or the other, and just help them to be able to gain something from this as well, if they're able to listen to a podcast or any other way that they can hear this. Lord, we just want to lift up and praise the Vigs and the fact that Ryan has finally gotten here. It's been a long, long road, and we're just thankful that he's already starting to get acclimated and just become part of the family, Lord. And we're just so thankful that this young man is going to be with us from here on out, Lord. And it's just it's been a lot of prayer that's gone into that, and we're just so thankful for that answer, God. Lord, we want to watch over Renata's grandmother, who's currently dealing with a lot of pain. She's in hospice care, and just be with Renata and Seth as they go through this time. It's always difficult as someone is dying, and we just pray, God, that you'll be with the entire family. And Lord, we want to watch over Tom's wife and all of the troops that we have around the nation. We just want to make sure that we keep them in prayer. We also want to lift up Scott Schostrand and help Scott to be calm and to help so that his mind is at ease and that he can be used to having people around and to be able to enjoy that, Lord. Lord, we want to watch over Charlene, who's already had some surgery on her liver. We're thankful, Lord, that there's not been any cancer that's been found within those lymph nodes that they checked, but she also has some additional surgery that's coming up in a few weeks, so we just pray, God, that you'll have your hand in that. And at the same time, Lord, we want to be thinking of her husband, Sam, as he's looking for a job. It's always stressful when you're out of work, and we just pray, God, that between these two situations, that the family can look to you for strength and to those around them, Lord. Lord, we also want to lift up Kristen Erickson, who's had a bout with cancer before and seemed like it was on top of it, and now it's returned, and I'm sure that's very discouraging, Lord, but we want to lift her and her family up and to give her strength, and that we just pray, God, that you would take that cancer away once again. Lord, we want to watch over Eric and Nicole. They're expecting twins any day here now. We just pray, God, that those twins will stay where they're supposed to be until you would have them be born. We just pray, God, for the doctors and for those around, and help the family and anybody else around to be supportive of them as they're anxiously awaiting the arrival of these two little children. And Lord, we want to watch over Riker, who this week has an eye surgery. We pray, God, for the doctors and for his family. It's always scary when you've got a child, especially a small child, who's undergoing surgery. So we pray, God, that that'll all go very, very well. And Lord, we want to watch over Franklin Carlson as he's got a shoulder replacement surgery tomorrow. We pray, God, for healing for him as well. And also, Lord, we just want to lift up Galen. I don't think that we often do this enough as a church body. We just pray, God, for a sense of peace for Galen. There's been a lot of things in our community just in this last while with the number of funerals that have been going on and stuff. And we just pray, God, that you'll give Galen peace. And we're very thankful for the work that he does. And we just pray, God, that we can come alongside him and help him in any way possible to help lift some of the burden and help carry some of the load that he shoulders. Please, Lord, just watch over him. Help so his message from you today just goes very, very well. In your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Bob. If I could have the ushers come forward for the offering and praise team. I believe we don't have special music other. Oh, praise team, come on up. And our offering can for the kids this morning is still Feed My Starving Children. We haven't changed that yet, so that's what it's for. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, God, for today, and we thank you for every opportunity that you give us to serve. We pray that you'd bless this offering, Lord, that you'd guide us, Lord, as we give, and that you would just multiply it, Lord, for your use. Lord, we ask this in your name, Father. Amen. Please sing along with us as we sing Thrive. All set.
Here in this one and weary land, where many dreams have died.
come. Now is the time to worship.
Just as you.
life than to have you living inside of us. Lord God, and you give us that opportunity. It's that gift that's just waiting to be opened. You don't force us. You just ask that we come to you and we believe and we receive. And then we become what you want us to be. Lord, we just pray that you would bless Galen's message. Help our hearts and minds and ears to be open. We just pray for distractions to be gone. And we pray that we would just be tender to hear your word and to obey. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. So I was preparing my sermon this week. It was, I will admit, it was one of those weeks where I just was overwhelmed, and you could probably hear it in my voice. Pray for me that I can get through this in the afternoon. But as I thought of this Sunday being Compassion Sunday, and I really felt I was supposed to preach on losing your joy, as I thought about that, and I thought of the passage that Philippians talks about, or Paul talks in Philippians, and it talks about how we're to have that joy, how we are to have the mind of Christ. But I've often thought of all the struggle in this world, all the hunger that there is, and all the pain. And yet, when I talk to people that have gone on mission trips, whether it's to Haiti or Honduras or Ecuador, people come back from there and they say, I wish we worshiped like they worshiped. So many people have nothing, and they face so many obstacles in their life, yet it's like they're in that place where they just know how to worship. And I pray that for us too. So sometimes I think we get too comfortable. So this morning I'm going to just make you a little uncomfortable, not a lot. I'm going to start throwing a few rocks, but not a whole lot. But we are blessed, Randy and Peggy and Julie and I and John Eberly went down to Case for Christ to the movie, and it is amazing. Julie and I saw it twice, and I think we'd go again. If anyone else wants to go, we'll go with you. But it's just amazing how someone just set out to prove that Jesus Christ and Christianity was nothing but a bunch of baloney. And the more research he does, the more he realizes, oh my goodness, this is real. That's what I want this to be for us today. I want our faith to become just so real to us that we catch a fire that we've never even had before, something that is new to us. And as I thought, so I want to talk about joy this morning, and I want to think about just one thing in your life. What is one thing that's been really easy for you to lose? For some, it might be your purse, maybe a cell phone, maybe your glasses. Maybe it's your mind. I've lost that a few times. But I want you to think about something, and I want you to think about what it's like, and I'm sure all of you have experienced it. I've experienced it many times, what it's like to lose your joy. And it can be painful. Sure, there's things that we lose in this life that maybe doesn't seem that significant, but when you lose your joy, it's like your whole world just comes crashing down around you. When I was young, I just remember very much being on a playground. I know I'm disappearing once in a while. Might want to leave the pulpit mic on real loud. Sometimes some kid can come and say something to you, and all of a sudden his words or her words are just so cutting. Your joy just like it gets sucked right out of you as a kid. Have you ever been there? I know I have. And when I was a little older, sometimes it would just be a phone call. Maybe a phone call that came, and all of a sudden the joy that I was feeling that day was just gone. I remember very vividly just an experience I had as a kid, and just an uncle that I had that helped take care of me and raise me when I was first born because my mother was really sick, and I remember where I was. I was in the bathroom. I was taking a bath, and all of a sudden I heard my mom scream. Just maybe you want to turn that up even further. And then the pulpit mic. I don't know why this is acting up. I'm going to make sure that everyone hears this. But I was in the bathtub as a little kid, and I remember my mom got a phone call. I heard her scream, and my uncle had gotten killed in a car accident. And I just remember my whole day changed in the weeks to come. It was a rough time. Sometimes a phone call can take our joy away. Sometimes it's just even reading the news, listening to, checking an email, maybe a TV show or something that maybe could even remind you of a past hurt in your life. And it just takes your joy away for the moment. And all those memories flood back of a time in your life that was so painful that it just took your joy from you. I'm sure that you've all noticed that in our world today, joy in people's lives can be pretty scarce at times. And sometimes it's just because we have too much information. We are flooded with things around the world, things that are going on, and it's hard to be positive and to hang on to that joy that we are told to have. And I'm not saying having this information is bad, but I think that God wants us to get a good perspective on what kind of joy we are to have. There are some people in our lives, and I know you know some people that are good at sucking the joy out of you. And it's like they are set on being caught in a just like a web of depression, and they choose not to get out of it. For the life of me, I can't understand why. It's almost like they've made a decision to be unhappy, because there's more comfort in that than there is in joy. As Christians, we're told to find joy in all circumstances, and that's hard to understand, isn't it? But the fact is, the Bible is clear that we are to have joy in our life. And the joy that I'm talking about is not joy that the world can provide. It's joy that only comes from the Lord and Him living in us. So this morning, I'd like us to see what steps we can take with God's help to restore the joy when we lose it, and not get caught up in living as if Jesus Christ lost the battle over sin and death, because He won it. It is so easy to get caught up on the pessimistic side of life and just be one of the most saddest, most defeated, tired people on the planet, when we should be a light unto the world. When people see us, they should see that light. They shouldn't see a darkness that comes from living a defeated life. That's not us. The reality of living the Christian life in a world that is out of whack is not easy. We know that. But we're told to have joy, and we're told to have it even when persecution comes. Matthew 5, 13 through 16 is our first scripture. And Jesus says these words. He says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men." Jesus tells his disciples, he says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." So we are to be salt and we are to be light in the world, aren't we? But if someone doesn't treat us very well, or actually persecutes you, listen to what Jesus says about that in Matthew 5:43 through 48. And Jesus is always good at taking it to the next level. And he says, "You've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? And then he says something that is very almost disturbing to me. He says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. God sets up a pretty high standard for us, doesn't he, as his followers? And yet he gives us this job to do that he says, I'm giving you work to do in this world, and I want you to have joy doing it. Matthew 5:10 through 12 goes on to say, and Jesus, this is his Sermon on the Mount, this is the last part of it. He says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Sounds like it would be tough to have joy. And then he says, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you, they will persecute you as well. That's what Jesus is saying. And then he says, rejoice and be glad. Isn't that amazing? Is that the first thing that comes to your mind from what you just heard? So I'd like us to look this morning at doing a better job of hanging on to the joy of the Lord as a body of believers. So to begin with, when your joy has been robbed of you, think about how it happened. Pay attention. Be intentional. How did that joy just get sucked out of me? How did I lose my joy so quickly? Joy just doesn't walk out of your life. There's usually something, some circumstance, or maybe someone that even takes it away. Maybe it's a certain circumstance or a certain person that comes to mind, but it's something. There's something, and it's important to identify what that is. We are told to guard ourselves from the things that take the life out of us and to be aware of what causes you to lose your joy. So I just want to point out just a few things that really have spoke to me in my life. The first one is an unbalanced life. And these are what I call joy thieves. Sometimes we're overworked, sometimes we're underworked. Sometimes we give too much of ourselves and we end up in burnout. We don't take time to rest. Even talking in too much, or taking in too much good stuff but not exercising the spirit can take the joy out of our life. Maybe you fill your mind with all kinds of knowledge. You study all the scriptures. You just concentrate so much on it, but you never put it into action. That can rob you of joy. You're missing out on the blessing of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. The second thing is unmet expectations. And that's a big one. That can affect us in so many ways in your relationship, in your marriages, in your friendships, even in a church body. Sometimes we have expectations of someone and we set ourselves up to be hurt, because those expectations don't get met. We expect something sometimes that people don't even realize they're being expected of them. You don't get where you hope for, so you get disappointed. The third thing is, and the last thing is, unconfessed sin and getting stuck in the past. I kind of put them together because, to me, they almost go hand in hand. It's like an unconfessed sin that you don't deal with, it just piles up in your life. It's like going, like taking it to a garbage dump, except that garbage dump is your heart. We don't admit our sins to God, we don't admit them to ourselves, and we sure don't admit them to anyone else. And the dump just keeps getting taller, and we struggle, and we stay in the past instead of moving forward. Maybe it's time to admit your sin to God. Maybe it's time to admit your sin to yourself, or maybe to those around you that love you and care for you. If you want to restore joy in your life, you need to think about what's good in your life. I don't think we're to dwell on the negative, but we're to dwell on what God has for us. Philippians 4, 4 through 9. When I look at this, I think of counting my blessings. And Paul tells the Philippians, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. People, I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, Paul says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. That is one great way to keep your joy intact, isn't it? What do you fill your mind with? Once again, I went to that amazing machine called the Google machine. And it told me there that people spend an average of 3 hours a day watching television. 18,000 hours of television by the time you're 18 years old. Wow. That means that at that pace, by the time you retire, if you get to be 67, maybe, you spent 9.5 years of your life, 24 hours a day, watching TV. Is that what you want to fill your mind with? I don't think there's that many reruns of Leave It to Beaver. How much time do you spend in God's Word in comparison? Think about that. Or listening to good Christian music, or worshiping God, or just coming together. One of the greatest gifts we all have is the time that God gives us on this earth. I would just recommend use it wisely. Ephesians 2:10 says this, we are God's workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Just think about that. If you just committed 3 hours a day to watching yourself do work for Jesus Christ other than television, think of the work that could be done, that could be accomplished. And this is for moms and dads. Are you teaching your kids how to have joy in life? Are you teaching them how to serve in love? That's very important. I would encourage you to give them opportunities to give. Give them opportunities to know what it's like to give without expecting anything in return. I believe there's such great joy in that. And what about sharing your faith? Isn't there joy in sharing your faith? For some, I know it's scary, and for me at times it's scary. Because again, there's always that fear of an unmet expectation, thinking they're going to receive me, they're going to love me, they're going to be my friend. Instead, it's just the opposite. And the joy gets sucked right out. But what if you were willing to, at all costs, be a Romans 12 Christian and surrender your life completely to be that living sacrifice that he calls us to be? How would you live in joy with that? If your goal was to serve Christ at all costs, not a lot of room for the joy thief to come and steal anything away. I have one other little quiz for you, or I have a little quiz for you before I close. Question one, just three questions. Did you know what the most persecuted religion in the world is? And you probably are going to guess this. It's It's not Hinduism, Buddhism, or Islam. It's Christianity. Not even close. The others aren't even close. Question two, in how many nations are Christians actively persecuted today? One nation, two nations, five, 10, 30, 60 nations. Christians are being persecuted in 60 nations. And according to the Martyrs magazine that I get, in 2016, 90,000 Christians were killed for their faith. 90,000. Why don't we hear about that? When 1,000 people die in a hurricane, you hear it all over the news for weeks and weeks. You have 90,000 Christians being killed just last year. Not a word. And here's a little bit of information to end with. Did you know that according to the records that we have, that more Christians have been martyred in the last 100 years than history combined? All the years combined. The battle's getting intense. So what are we to do with our joy in that? It says whenever you face trials or persecution, we should have joy, right? Have you ever watched someone that's facing an illness that leads to death, and it seems like the longer they live, the happier they are? Isn't that amazing? I've watched that, and I tell you, that is a faith builder. When you see that go on. The Bible tells us that every time somebody accepts the Lord as their Savior, there is more rejoicing in heaven than we could ever imagine. What if we had that kind of joy when we shared our faith with that hope and that expectation? Luke 15:7, did I put that on there? I did. I surprised myself. I tell you that in the same way, there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. The day that you were born again, there was a party. Isn't that amazing? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought of the heavenly realm? I heard just a little testimony the other day of you know, it was a funeral that I did, and I won't tell you who because I don't have the share. I've done so many funerals that I can keep it a secret because you'll never guess. But this person had saw a light, and she said to the nurse, "Do you see the light?" And the nurse didn't see it. They said, "And I'm hearing voices telling, go find my husband." All of a sudden, the light disappears, and she says, "Man, they didn't come from me, they came from my neighbor." Her neighbor died that night. Is heaven not real? There are so many things that I am blessed with when I get to do funerals and get to be in the end of life. That brings me great joy when I hear of the faithfulness of people that finish it well. What a great joy it would be to know that you've shared someone with Christ and they became a believer and there's a party in heaven. That's where real joy comes from. Would you just please pray with me? Father, we so many times look to things that do not bring us joy like that. We look at things of this world to bring us completeness. We try to find our value in another person, maybe in our jobs. Our joy should come from you, Lord, and nowhere else. Father, and whatever comes at us, Lord Jesus, then there's nothing that can take that joy from us. And sure, we have times of grieving and of sorrow in this world, but you tell us joy comes in the morning. That's a joy that you bring. And we find that in you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for that. It is so sweet to know you, to trust in you and to live for you, Lord, no matter what comes at us. So we praise you now and we thank you, Father. We pray, Lord, even as we go from here and as the Sunday school meets and as we share in a meal together, God, help us to be people that are filled with joy. As we share, we thank you, God, for the meal and for the hands that have prepared it. Bless our time of fellowship, Lord, and we just look forward to every day that you give us, for every day is a gift. It is so sweet to trust you, Lord Jesus. We pray that you'd guide us now, Lord, in your name. Amen. If you'd please stand and join us, we'll close with our closing hymn, number 289. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. And please check out the compassion table in the foyer and pray about it. Stay around for pancakes. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Key of F. As we close in prayer, I just was told that the food is ready, so I'll ask for the blessing again on it, and then you can go ahead and stay free for the meal. Lord, we thank you for this time, and we do praise you, and thank you for the meal that was prepared for us. We thank you, God, for all that you provide. Lord, help us to go from here and to know what it means to live with joy, Lord, no matter what circumstances come at us, Lord. Help us to stand firm in our faith. Trust you, and it is sweet, Lord, to live for you. We just thank you for all that you do. We thank you for what is coming. And we look forward to when we can stand before you, Lord, and just be together, Father, in your kingdom. We just praise you now. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Lancaster Covenant Church podcast. For more information on gathering times and the Lancaster Covenant Church community, please visit our website at lancastercovenant.com.